They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining us on the show today, Mary McAndrew. Mary is a widow. She's a mother. And she's a homeowner in beautiful Hawaii, where I understand the weather's sunny and gorgeous right now. It is anything but sunny and gorgeous over here. So, Mary, thank you so much for sharing a little sunshine with us and a little warmth. But you have some issues. You have some problems and typical HOA problems. So you want to tell us a little bit about it? You bought a condo.
Yes, I did, Sue. It's been an interesting experience. I don't know exactly why I've been led into this experience, but I'm going to try and just do the best that I can with this particular challenge.
Before we go any further, is this the first association property you've owned, or?
This is that. I'm in an HOA. I'm in a homeowners association. And the units are on a sort of a large, sprawling property of a couple of acres, and the units are buildings duplex, two units per building, and we have a common area road that goes around, and some little common area grassy areas, and a pool and a clubhouse, and
sounds like heaven.
Pardon me?
I said it sounds like heaven. Yes? No?
You know, cosmetically, it looks really great. In fact, I grew up on a Navy base. My dad was in the Navy. And when I first came here, I thought, oh, well, this looks like a Navy base. Very groomed, manicured lawns, very nice looking. It looked really, you know, regimental almost. I found out over the course of time that the cosmetics are they're kind of lipstick on the pig, which is sad. But I've gotten down to the underbelly of this wretched creature, and it's gasping for air. I got an interesting newsletter yesterday from the Homeowners Association. That they had glowing reports from a newsletter to all the homeowners that this condo association and this property is the quote best kept secret here in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, they're trying to give themselves pats on the back, glowing reports, and but the tell is that they think of themselves as the best kept secret, but the fact of the matter is that they are actually keeping a lot of secrets from the homeowners. While they, you know, give glowing reports, they are really covering up and distracting from some very unsavory activities that they are performing, of which I've only touched the tip of the iceberg. As I say, I don't know why I was given this challenge, but somehow I think divine providence leads me into these particular challenges, because somehow divine providence figures that, I mean, I don't know if there's a cosmic consciousness that actively, intentionally does this kind of stuff, or it's just that I just happen to be lucky this way.
So tell me something. But, you say they're keeping a lot of secrets. What kind of secrets
Well, I think the basic upshot of most secrets is people are motivated by money, so they're embezzling. I think the bottom line is they're embezzling. They're skimming funds. They're misappropriating funds, and one of the ways that they do misappropriation of funds or committing fraud, and this conspiracy to commit fraud, if you want to get into the RICO violations, organized crime. So one of the ways that people skim funds and this type of thing, and there's no oversight and there's no checks and balances, and they don't really have anybody really watching what they're doing, is to use things like gift cards. They do gift cards, buy a lot of gift cards, and then say, oh, we're giving them to the employees or so-and-so. But if the employees are buying gift cards for the employees, then, that's a misappropriation of funds.
What are the gift cards for?
The gift cards were purchased by the general manager, The general manager at the last meeting in November, just last week, the general manager was questioned, why do you have $3,600 in gift cards?
Wow.
How many employees do we have? Well, we have 17 employees. So we're going to give 17 employees each $100 gift card. What about the other gift cards? Oh, we're going to give them to the vendors. Oh, yeah, we're going to give them to the vendor. Okay, why are you going to give them to the vendor? Oh, we're going to give them to the mailman. We're going to give them to the postman. Did the homeowners vote on this? No, they did not. The Homeowners Association Board of Directors is a very interesting group. They keep managing to vote themselves in by some strange voting processes, which are, I mean, it's very sad what they're doing to this place. They're cosmetically, it looks really nice on the surface, and they give themselves glowing reports, but behind the scenes, they are purchasing excessive amounts of gift cards for we don't know who. And then in the newsletter that I got yesterday, they are asking the homeowners individually to donate to a employee gift fund with no mention of the gift cards that have already been purchased for these employees. So the homeowners are encouraged to write a check to the employee gift fund. So we don't know how much is going to go into this employee gift fund, who donates to it, and how much is actually being doled out to the employees. Well, that's just one little aspect of it. Another way that people commit fraud is by doing inflated invoices from, you know, shell companies. So I suspect that at least two of the board members are running shell companies. They're running companies that maybe not completely shell companies. They're not completely fraudulent, but one of them, I think, is a consulting company. And this is a former board president running a consulting company, and I think he sends invoices for his consulting services. Another one runs another product company, and apparently there's all kinds of money being spent on this product by the Homeowners Association, but we're not seeing the product being delivered or used anywhere on the property. So very strange. So there's a $25,000 or $30,000 line item in the budget for so-called product of this nature, of the one board member's nature. And nobody's seeing it, and it's not been applied. And, you know, so it's... Yeah, it's not good. So
there's a lot of self-dealing, basically.
There's definitely some self-dealing, and there's definitely some shenanigans going on behind the scenes. One of the things that they're doing to cover up their shenanigans and make a lot of distraction, and to put a, you know, take the spotlight off of them, if you will, is to take this fraudulent lawsuit out against me, this malicious prosecution out against me. And what they've done to me is, in the laws here in Hawaii, the condominium law is Chapter 514B. So Chapter 514B states that in the case where a homeowner wants to make an alteration to their unit, that the board may, quote, give approval only and no unreasonable disapproval, unquote. So these board members, technically speaking, may give approval only and no unreasonable disapproval. That's the law. And in the governing documents, it states so much the same, the wording being that the board, that the alteration shall require approval only by the board members. So shall require approval doesn't mean that I'm required to get it so much as they're required to give it. So
this is, this is the first time I've ever heard of this. Usually you have to get permission and somebody has to decide whether or not you may or may not. But you're saying in Hawaii the law is that they cannot prevent you from doing it unless, you know, it has to be, their denial has to be very reasonable. Is that what you're telling me?
That's right. No unreasonable disapproval. So they stopped, they prevented me. They gave me approval on some things. They gave me approval on an upstairs remodel. I have a two-story unit. They gave me an upstairs remodel on the inside, but they said I couldn't build an exterior deck. Well, the board member who lives next door to me didn't want the exterior deck because he feels it will interfere with his privacy. He has an upstairs deck. He didn't want me to have one because he feels it will interfere with his privacy. Well, that's a personal agenda, and that's wrong. That's a violation of fiduciary right there. But this next-door board member also has stated to me he doesn't like me, and people like me don't belong here.
I want to go back to people like me because you said that before. What exactly is people like me?
And he won't talk to me. He won't explain himself. He refuses to even acknowledge that he told me he didn't like me. I tried to get him to acknowledge it at one point in the board meeting. And he said, "Oh, I never said that." So he likes to go back on his word. Maybe he's very forgetful. He does drink excessive amounts of alcohol, even going to the point of accusing me of stealing his moonshine from his backyard one day.
You're kidding.
apparently he had a case. He had a case of moonshine. So there is one little kid who runs around. Maybe the guy was smashed one night and one of his so-called friends who was coming over just kind of slipped away with a couple bottles or said, "Hey, can I have a bottle?" He says, "Oh, yeah, go ahead." And maybe he was just too wiped out to realize that he had actually given them away. Or maybe he drank. I don't know. But he accuses me of, you know, this kind of thing. However, he trespasses on my property. He's got bear repellent to use to assault me. He said that under oath. He's a piece
bear
of work.
Bear repellent?
You get bear repellent. Now, I suspect that if he ever used the bear repellent, that he would find out real fast that he's contaminated his own property, and it would probably have blowback on him that he wouldn't like very much. So, God bless him. Here's the thing. I'm going to pray for these people, okay, sweetheart, because these are what you call difficult people. I've read about people being difficult. I've read about people being nasty. I always wondered about it. I thought, why are these people attacking me? I try to be a good person. Yeah, I'm not a perfect angel. Yes, I've made mistakes in my life. But, you know, please, God, forgive me for the transgressions that I've, you know, made, and, you know, hopefully I'll be forgiven too. Well, apparently I'm not forgiven. So keep praying.
So stop stealing your neighbor's moonshine, Mary. That's not very nice of you.
Well, he accused me or my son of stealing his moonshine. It's like, we don't care about your moonshine, honey. We got our own moonshine. We don't have moonshine, but I have a vacation rental, and occasionally my guests leave booze. I don't even drink booze, and my son doesn't drink booze. We don't drink booze. If we wanted booze, we would have booze. In fact, my son asked me one time, "Hey, Mom, you ever drink beer?" And we're like, "No." He says, "Well, you got all the beer around the house." I'm like, "Well, you know, it's because the clients sometimes leave it, and, you know, I can't really leave it in the room. I don't want to leave it for the next client because maybe they don't drink." So I bring it home, and I used to give it to the next door neighbor. But my son goes, "Hey, why do you have all the booze?" I'm like, he says, "Do you drink beer, Mom?" I go, "No, I don't drink beer. If I drank beer, I wouldn't have beer because I would drink it all. It'd be gone." But anyway, I digress. I'm going to just describe real quick what the elements of fraud are. There's three elements to committing fraud. Three elements to committing fraud are motivation. People have to be motivated. They're usually motivated by money. Most people are motivated by money. And here in Hawaii, everybody's motivated by money. Everybody's struggling. Even the people who are making $1 million a year are going, "Hey, I'm so poor." You know, it is what it is. But even rich people, they don't like to come down here because everybody is struggling here so badly that they become targets. So it's not very nice. So word to the wise. That's why more rich people don't move out here. Even Mark Zuckerberg had to put up a big wall around his place in Kauai, and then all of a sudden the people are screaming about poor old Mark Zuckerberg. God bless him. Anyway, one of the first elements to fraud is motivation, motivation to get money in this case. And second thing is opportunity. So an opportunity is where somebody has a chance to get that money and to maybe get a lot of it or a little of it, or there's, you know, they can steal. They can steal. And the third aspect to committing fraud is the ability to cover it up or get away with it or having nobody take a notice of it. So there's motivation, there's opportunity, and there's your ability to cloak what has been happening. So these people have all these three elements going on for them. We know they're motivated. Everybody here is motivated to be frugal or, at least try and make more money with what they've got, try and increase their resources. Some people are, you know, honest, but many times we find that, you know, even people who would, you would expect to be honest and have a fiduciary duty, like board members are supposed to, find themselves, they don't even know what the word fiduciary is. God bless them, they don't know what the word fiduciary is. I said, hey, did you guys know what you are? When they said, at the board meeting, I said, hey, do you think you know what you are? They all, like, they look at me like I got three heads. So I said, I said, you're all fiduciaries. They looked at me like I just vomited out of those three heads. They thought I said a vulgar term to them. They thought fiduciary was a vulgar term. They had possibly never heard the word before, certainly didn't know the meaning of the word fiduciary, and my kind-hearted real estate friend said, well, maybe you pronounced it wrong, Marianne. I said, no, it's pronounced fiduciary. It's just that these poor people never had heard the word before, and they thought I had actually called them a vulgar term. If you can talk. Hey. But the poor thing, God bless them. So I pray for them. I pray for them every day, Shu. I built myself a little virgin grotto. Go look at it on my Facebook page. God bless them. I've also done a lot of research on psychopaths and sociopaths, so I think we pretty much peg these people as being people who are possibly, you know, attracted to the dim light and have got personal problems that are far beyond the scope of my capacity to deal with. So, but meanwhile, they've taken out lawsuits on me. So here's the reason why they took out a lawsuit on me. They're supposed to give approval and no unreasonable disapproval. They didn't give approval, and because they didn't give approval, they took out a lawsuit on me because they didn't get approval. So that's called a catch-22 as far as I know.
So wait a minute. You put in a request to build the deck outside. They
yes.
didn't give you approval, and then they took you to court because they didn't give you approval?
Absolutely. Bingo.
Wait a minute.
You got it.
That just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Not at all.
It
Absolutely
doesn't make
not.
Any sense at all.
And then here's the zinger, sweetheart. Here's the zinger. 3 or 4 months later, they took out, you know, they did some more paperwork with the courts. And then 2 weeks after that, they gave me approval for that upstairs deck. Okay. The upstairs deck was not the only issue. They had three little areas of contention so that they could confuse and obfuscate their court people, their judge, whoever. Maybe they're pulling the wool over their attorney's eyes too. I know that they're running up a bunch of attorney's bills and the attorney is just, you know,
that's a scam that happens across
it's
the
a
country.
Racket.
Yeah,
racket.
It is a racket. You're absolutely correct.
It is a racket, and you know what? God bless them. God bless them. I pray for them. But here's the thing. So they had three little areas. One was the upstairs deck. Another one was the enclosing of the downstairs deck. And then the third one was the kitchen, which they said I built in common element. It's fully within my unit, but they said I built in common element because the general manager is, bless his heart, he could have had a real estate. He literally could have gotten a master's degree in real estate since he's been working here, but he didn't, and he doesn't know what fiduciary is. He doesn't know what common element is. He literally could have gotten an advanced degree in real estate, and he could have learned these things, but he never did, and he doesn't know, and he thinks that inside my unit is common element. Inside my unit is not common element for the purposes
of
alteration.
The thing is, if it's a condo, you only own airspace, but...
I decorated the airspace, and they took out a lawsuit. But here's the thing. So they have three little areas of contention. So the first area, one area of contention, which was their initial area of contention, they took out the lawsuit in August 2014.
So it's been over 2 years.
And then the third or fourth week of August 2014, so they took out the lawsuit the second week of August 2014, and then the third week of August 2014, they approved the upstairs deck. So a week later, they approved what they just took out a lawsuit about. Mm-hmm. But they got two more places. Yeah, they didn't even tell anybody. So then we go to some settlement conferences and try and sort it out, and the judge actually grants us the ability to go and build all these three different areas. So the first one we do is the upstairs deck. But they don't tell anybody. Actually, what we did was with the judge first was the downstairs deck, the enclosure. The judge says, you just have to get, retroactive approval. We changed some things from the original drawing. So it's not a material difference. It doesn't materially affect anybody. It looks a little different, but everybody here has a little bit different design on their downstairs lanai. So, it shouldn't be an issue. Nobody has to see it. Nobody has to deal with it. It's not a common area at all. And you literally have to be in a boat to see it. But they wanted to fight about it. And it was settled in a settlement conference with my attorneys and their attorneys and the judge. But come January 15, in the meeting minutes, we see that they've approved it. So I just found this just recently. We see that they've approved the downstairs deck in the January 15 minutes. I just found that the other day. But they still want to fight about it. So they're continuing to fight about it. I was deposed in May of this year, May 2016, and one of their attorneys, bless his heart, fought with me for about half an hour in the deposition about why this window, from a door to a window, was a material change on this downstairs deck. He apparently was either unaware or hiding the fact that this downstairs deck has been retroactively approved, and I have no problem with it. But he wanted to fight with it for half an hour. So I guess that's about $1,000 in attorney time, considering how many attorneys were in the room. And they all expect me to pay their bill. Crippled widow. I'm a disabled widow, and all these attorneys and the judge want me to all, pony up and pay them their $1,000 an hour. It's very strange. So so that was the second bone of contention, apparently approved in January 2015, and we're fighting about it in May 2016. Interesting. Okay, nobody knew about it. They didn't reveal anything about it. The general manager didn't say anything about it, and none of the board members. It's in the minutes. It's in the meeting minutes. You can go look it up yourself online right now if you wanted to. January 2015, meeting minutes for Coapa Isle Resource Center. Find it online. January 2015, Mary McAndrew, Unit 391, downstairs deck, lanai enclosure approved.
And then they take it to court.
But they want to fight about it,
And what does the judge say when you show them, hey, wait a minute, according to them, it's approved?
Here's the funny thing. The judges never want to talk to me. They only want to talk to the attorney. So it's like that little game when you play when you're kids called telephone. So I tell you, the lazy brown dog jumped over the fox jumped over the dog or whatever. And at the end of the thing, it's the hog left, the hog was sleeping in the beer or something. So it never comes out the same. So, that old game of telephone when you're a little kid.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean,
so the upshot is that the communication is being so garbled, the information is being so obfuscated, the details are being lost, and the law is being ignored. So what's happened is the general manager has made some false claims in the courts. The courts have accepted that his word is the truth. And they say, you can't build on common element. Okay, I won't build on common element. I'm not building on common element. So therefore, they say, okay, Mary McAndrew, you got to remove everything that you built on common element at your expense. Okay, I'll remove everything I built on common element at my expense. Since I didn't build anything on common element, I have nothing to remove.
So you do have an attorney, right?
Oh yes, I got a wonderful attorney, and I got his wonderful associate working with me. They're going to go to another hearing tomorrow. We're coming after them. We've had an arbitration, and the arbitration didn't go well. The judge in the arbitration, or the arbiter, had a undisclosed relationship with the opposition attorney. So technically, according to the Supreme Court of Hawaii, this undisclosed relationship vacates the award. They were actually given the award, and it was interesting to watch the judge arbiter swooning over this opposition attorney's attack of me, trying to say that this kitchen area that I built was uncommon element, and you know how it's my entryway. Even if it is my entryway, if it's limited common element, guess what? You can, technically, according to the law, you can build on limited common element, even if there's a non-consenting neighbor or, you know, somebody who doesn't like it, as long as it doesn't materially affect them. I've studied real estate for 30 years. Been in real estate for 30 years. Got advanced degrees in real estate myself. Practiced real estate. Have an inactive license right now, but, I have my own properties, and so I use it for, you know, as necessary. God bless them.
I'm getting really confused because
you are.
So much of this stuff just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, Mary.
No, it doesn't, and I'll tell you why you are confused. You are absolutely correct to be confused. One of the things that people who have social pathologies, or the people who are sociopaths, the people who are psychopaths, one of the things they do is try to confuse people. They try to confuse people, and they try to obfuscate, they try to cover, they create chaos and confusion. This is one of their techniques. They try and make a bunch of drama. They try and make a bunch of smoke and mirrors over here. Hey, look over here. Wow, this is really horrible. Look at this. Oh, my God. Look at this lady doing. Oh, my God. They got a lawsuit of $750,000 spent on. So they raise a bunch of ruckus. They kick up a bunch of dust. What are they covering up? Okay, so we see this in other places, too. We see this with other people. So if you meet somebody who's making a bunch of ruckus and making a bunch of noise about something, you suspect that they might be, you know, trying to pull a fast one somewhere else, you're probably right, especially if there's money involved. So we're going to look behind the scenes now, because in front of the camera, we see these people making a bunch of ruckus, making a bunch of drama for me, making me cry, boo hoo hoo, spending a bunch of money. What's going on behind the scenes? What's going on behind the scenes is they're committing fraud, they're committing embezzling. We're pretty sure that they're padding the invoices. They're saying, hey, this item costs $250,000, but when they get the line item in the budget a couple of months later, it apparently only costs $175,000. So there's $75,000 that just kind of went poof. Where did it go? We don't know. This is what I've been noticing going to the meetings over the course of time. Is these inflated expenses. They've taken out a $1 million loan, and the item that they took out the $1 million loan for only costs $350,000. But they have to spend it. Apparently, one of the conditions of this loan is they have to spend it within a year, or they have to give it back. So now they're going to blow up a bunch of other things, spend a bunch of other stuff. Interesting. It's all creative accounting.
So where did they get the loan from?
They got it from the bank.
They got a bank?
They got it from,
okay.
Oh, yeah, they got it from Central Pacific Bank. Mm-hmm. So they got $1 million loan from Central Pacific Bank because they wanted to do some spalling work. Spalling is when the reinforced concrete, the rebar inside the reinforced concrete, which is made of steel, starts to rust. And then when it starts to rust, it expands and it expands the concrete and it breaks the concrete. So it's called spalling. So they had to do some so-called spalling repair. So they can do some spalling repair. And, oh, it's a big crisis because if they don't do the spalling repair, then, you know, they have to tear down the clubhouse and this sort of thing. So they did the spalling repair. So apparently a spalling repair only costs $250,000, if that much. So now they got $750,000 that they're sitting on. What are they going to do with it? Oh, well, let's spend it here. Let's spend it there. Apparently I went to one meeting. It turns out the spalling repair only cost $250,000. But by the next meeting, apparently it had expanded and ballooned up to $500,000 expense. There's some creative accounting going on here, and it's hard for me to get to the bottom of it because, as I say, these people, they are the very best-kept secret here in the neighborhood. They are keeping a lot of secrets, and they can't keep all of them because one of the things that happens with people who are liars is they can't keep it all together all the time. So sometimes things slip out. And I've watched these things. I've studied psychopaths and I've studied sociopaths. And you say you're confused. As I say, you're right to be confused. One of the things these people do is they have so many little issues going, so many little dramas going on that it's hard to pin them all down. It's hard to remember when I said they took out three different points of contention in the lawsuit they took out against me. Well, that's to obfuscate. That's to confuse. That's so that they can bounce around. And as soon as it's like playing whack-a-mole, where you hit one mole and the other one pops up. You hit that one, the other one pops up. This is like playing 360-degree whack-a-mole. We're playing 360-degree whack-a-mole. Okay, we're trying to whack all these moles down. So the only way to really do this, and this is how they fatigue people. They fatigue good, honest people by doing these shenanigans and this obfuscation and this confusing, chaotic type of a barrage of abuse, really, is what it is. It's psychological abuse. It's psychological warfare. So the way to confront these types of psychological warfare, this psychopathic abuse, is to take copious notes. You take a lot of notes, and it takes a little bit of time, and then what you do is you compare the notes to over the course of time, and you see if patterns are starting to develop, and you see who's doing what to who and when. We have these people lying under oath. We have the general manager trying to get a TRO against me because he says I'm a violent person. I'm a crippled widow. If anybody's being violent to anybody, it's them who are preventing me from building a kitchen for over a year. So I don't walk very well, so he thought I was trying to hit him with my car. I wasn't trying to hit him with my car. I was trying to get his attention. Hey, you know, let's talk about this. But he's trumping up all these charges, which is horrible. But God bless him. I'm praying for them, sweetheart. I'm gonna pray for these people, and I do. In Jesus' holy name, we pray.
I think they need more than a prayer, but...
I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. If anybody's out there who wants to pray with me, pray with me every day. We're going to pray for the fires in Tennessee. We're going to pray for the people in Ohio State. We're going to pray for, you know, everybody that's hurting in this world. We're going to pray for these little kids in Pizzagate. We don't know who they are. They don't know who we are, but we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for the healing of this world. We're going to pray one by one. We're going to each put our hands together and bow our heads in prayer. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. God bless us. And God bless them, too. God bless these people that are trying to hurt us because they don't realize who they're hurting. They don't realize that they're hurting, you know, the little children. They don't realize that they're hurting the next generation. They don't realize they're hurting basically all of humanity, and they're doing it all for their selfish motives. So, you know.
So let's get back to Hawaii. Let's get back to your condo. How many units in the condo? You said you had 17...
There's 234 separate units in this condo.
And how many of them have all of the stuff that you have? I mean, they're obviously of the same age, so presumably...
Some of them, they're all nearly 45 to 50 years old. They're almost 50 years old. So there's a lot of issues going on with a 50-year-old house, you may know or may not know. These are right on the water. Right on the water, so the water, they're all on a slab. So anybody that knows about construction knows about slab construction, which means your plumbing is all underneath your slab, which means if the and if you're on the water, you're going to have subsidence of the and this is all backfilled land too. This is backfilled land, and it's slab construction. The plumbing is within the slab. The plumbing fails. Pretty soon you've got a leach field under your house, and your foundation is going to fail, and your house is going to crumble. So these people don't care about that.
So it's these are all repairs that essentially everybody's going to have to make, because you're all the same age, you're all in the same location, and you're all the same construction, right?
People, I think my next door neighbor, bless his heart, who's been on the board, and his dad was on the board, and he thinks he's pure as wind driven snow, and he keeps, you know, lots of moonshine to keep reminding himself of how wonderful he is.
It's not stealing that moonshine, Mary.
it's really sad. I mean, it's really sad. Instead of reading the book or reading the law, or, you know, apprising himself of what the word fiduciary means, he sits around and drinks
that.
Beer.
They don't need to know that. They've told me they don't need to know that.
Instead of, you know, one of the I don't know if you know about one of the features of fiduciary. One of the obligations of being a fiduciary is to gain special knowledge. You're supposed to have special knowledge, and if you don't have that special knowledge, you're supposed to gain special knowledge. You're supposed to educate yourself. So this is why people who are real estate agents, people who are insurance agents, people who have positions where they have a fiduciary duty to the principal. Fiduciary is a subordinate to the principal. The principal is the person who puts their trust. It's a position of trust. So fiduciary holds a position of trust with the principal, who expects them to be trustworthy and honest. And one of the features of being trustworthy and honest is having special knowledge. So when you're a person who has a fiduciary duty, is supposed to be honest and trustworthy and keeping track of your money and all of these other things, they're supposed to have a special knowledge. And if they don't have that special knowledge, they're supposed to get it. So if they don't have it and they sit around and get drunk, and some of these people actually come to the board meetings after drinking booze. I don't know how and what state of inebriation they are, but it's happened more than once, and it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. Oh my God, this is a nightmare. But we're dealing with psychopaths here. We're dealing with psychopaths and sociopaths. Confusion is the order of the day with these kinds of people. They try to do this stuff, and so anyway, they try to prevent me from building my kitchen. My kitchen was a nightmare. I was having a pipe burst above my kitchen, above my stove. I had an emergency repair, so I had to do an emergency. I did an emergency renovation of the kitchen because I didn't mean to do the kitchen at the same time I did the rest of the house, but it turned out that way. Well, they didn't approve of that either. They didn't approve of that. They wouldn't give me a reasonable accommodation for my disability, which is just another kitchen door. I needed a kitchen door. They didn't want to give it to me. So they're still fighting about that. They say I have built in common element, which is absolutely not true. It's fully within my unit as per the declaration and the bylaws and the condominium map. And so now we're talking with the Department of Planning and Permitting and saying, hey, did we violate any land use ordinance? Because that's their new gripe du jour, is that I've violated a land use ordinance. So we've quashed the common element argument. We've quashed that. We've quashed that, you know, it materially affects anybody. We've quashed that. But now they bring up a land use ordinance. Okay, so now they say I violated a land use ordinance. So now we're going to the Department of Planning and Permitting and saying, hey, did 39 square feet violate a land use ordinance? So now it was, you know, exterior area. We've put it under roof, or, you know, essentially enclosed it. So is that a violation of the land use ordinance? We haven't heard back from the Department of Planning and Permitting, but and in fairness and full disclosure, other people have enclosed 400 square feet. So if they're not, also one of the arguments is that I've increased the density. Well, actually, I've decreased the density. They say I've increased the density by adding 39 square feet. But I've taken a three-bedroom house and made it a two-bedroom house. And other people have taken three-bedroom houses and made them into four-bedroom houses. They've added 400 square feet, which was formerly exterior area. And these people are not increasing the density and violating the land use ordinance by including this exterior area and adding interior square feet. This is called selective enforcement, as you know.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much the standard across age choice. But you do, I'm listening to you here, and one of the things that occurs to me is that they are in violation of fair housing laws, because they have to allow you reasonable accommodations for your disability.
They've been ignoring this and contesting it. They keep asking for proof, so I keep providing them
with
proof.
You don't have to provide them with proof.
Well, they've contested it a lot, and we're suing them for harassment now. We're going to be suing them for harassment. So, and I've got the Civil Rights Commission involved, and
You do have the civil rights people involved.
We're going to get the Civil Rights Commission involved. I'll probably get a right to sue letter from them. That's still pending right now. I'm going to get the insurance company involved because these people have been neglecting my legitimate homeowner concerns as far as the homeowner association rightful repairs to the exterior of the house. The actual exterior walls have not been properly sealed, and they're leaking water to the interior. So my insurance carrier is paid out for the interior damage. So I contacted the management company, and I've sent it all around to the management company, not just one person. I've sent it around to, you know, my attorneys and one of the board members and the general manager, just so everybody's got a little taste of what's going on. And I've said, hey, the Civil Rights Commission needs to get involved. My civil rights are being violated. And also the homeowners association insurance carrier needs to be involved, because it looks like they are not attending to the damage that's being happening from some water intrusion that's damaging the interior of my house. The association is not attending to this thing in 30 days. It's supposed to attend to it within 30 days. That's part of the declaration and bylaws, and so therefore they are jeopardizing the safety and soundness of the property. They're jeopardizing the health and safety, and they're depriving me of use and enjoyment of my property, which are all conditions under which I can take a lawsuit out on them. So one has to come through the fine print, but I've come through it pretty good because...
Let me stop you here and let me ask you a question. You're talking about the HOA insurance company. Number one, do you know who... pays for the insurance premiums? Because one of the things that I've been hearing about from different parts of the country is that the management company will manage a number of associations. The management company will buy one insurance policy. And for all of the associations it manages. And, of course, it charges each association. So if it takes out $1 million policy and it manages five associations, it'll take out the premium from five different associations to pay for this one insurance policy. So when something happens and the association goes to collect from the insurance policy, they thought they had $1 million policy. It turns out that they don't, because that policy is split between four other associations. So that's something that, just to give you a little homework, like you don't have enough to look into. But that's a scam that's been going on around the country as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, here in Hawaii, there's really not too many insurance carriers, and everybody's in everybody else's back pocket around here. We all know everybody's business. It's like a small town. It's only the tourists that make it look like a big town, but really this Hawaii Honolulu is a very small town. And there's a lot of people trying to pull the fast one on everybody else, and everybody's, you know, looking at everybody else and listening in on everybody else's conversations and trying to get to the bottom of it. But
it's, you make paradise sound really unpleasant, Mary.
You know, sweetheart, here's the thing. You know, on the surface, in the pictures, it looks really great, but you get down here, it's an absolute snake pit. It's a snake pit. It's like the Garden of Eden. But, oh, yeah, it's the Garden of Eden, until you got to get up close and personal, and then pretty soon you got a snake going, hey, yeah, eat this apple, hey. Come and do some bad things with me. That's the soft white underbelly. That's the dirty little secret.
That's the dirty little secret, everybody.
Sorry, Hawaii Visitors Bureau. Sorry, Hawaii Visitors Bureau, your, you know, $100 million of Hawaii Visitors Bureau you know, expenses, basically, are, you know, oh my God, we have a lot of problems here. So-called paradise, yeah, as I say, it looks really pretty in pictures, and some people can manage to rise above it. And you know what? God bless them. I'm going to help do that. I'm going to pray for these people, sweetheart, because that's all I can do right now. All I can do is pray for them, and as I say, I believe in power of prayer.
So,
look into this insurance issue, because insurance companies don't mess around. I've talked with my banker about this. I have a friendly banker friend, and we've talked about this because he's been watching my bank account literally evaporate with attorney's fees. It's horrible. He's very concerned. And I told him I'm going to get the insurance company involved. I've contacted my insurance company, and that's it. In fact, I copied my insurance company with the information and sent it along to my attorneys. And,
so will your insurance company contact and work with the HOA insurance company?
Oh, they'll get to the bottom of it, because my insurance company doesn't want to be making big payouts for damage that was not my fault. If they can go after another insurance carrier and say, hey, you know, you're supposed to be doing this damage repair, you're supposed to be doing this building management repair, and they're not doing the building management repair, they're neglecting the building management because the general manager has a personal agenda against me. He tried to get a TRO against me. He's got a weapon to use against me. He was supposed to assign somebody else. The general manager and the HOA were ordered by the court at the general manager's TRO request. He made a request to get a TRO against me. So instead of granting his TRO, the court ordered him, the judge ordered him and the association to find somebody else, to find an alternative person to come around and deal with my building issues. That was in the fall of 2014, late 2014. So it's been 2 years now. The person who was assigned or appointed to do this particular position of taking care of my building issues has never come around, never approached me, never contacted me, never responded to my building issues, been neglecting me, and the only person who has come around is this general manager who seems to have this weird personal agenda against me. So that's harassment.
So now your house has been torn up for 2 years?
I bought a very dilapidated house. So the house wasn't in good shape when I bought it. So we went in the beginning of in February of 2014, we had a pipe burst above the kitchen. I had already contacted an architect and a contractor to do some other work in the house, to do the upstairs bedroom, to make two bedrooms into one master suite, and it's really nice. It looks great. We wanted them to do the upstairs deck at the same time, and we'd also, in late 2013, put in a request to enclose the downstairs lanai. So in early 2014, we had the pipe burst. So we had to scramble and also try and include a kitchen repair at the same time. So we're going to try and get to the bottom of the kitchen repair. So in the course of trying to get to the bottom of the kitchen repair, we have to tear up all the mold. All the moldy stuff has to go. It's 45 years old, nearly 50 years old. It's disgusting. We don't know why it's disgusting. We know there's a pipe burst, at least one. We find out a total of 9 pipes in the house burst.
Wow.
Just about every service pipe and every drain pipe burst in this house. It's amazing. In fact, not just about, literally, every single one. Every single service pipe, every single copper pipe had a hole in it, and every single drain pipe, every single, you know, 3-inch drain pipe had issues, had broken, they were broken. They were literally broken, either cracked or completely, you know, destroyed. The one that was under the slab was, as I say, a leach field underneath the house. It's horrible.
Wow.
We're gonna fix it.
And so, but you haven't really had a functioning kitchen for 2 years now, right?
Well, at one point I didn't have a kitchen sink, and all the trappings of the kitchen counter and the kitchen cabinets and this kind of thing, I didn't have them for over a year. Right now, I have a functioning kitchen. It's not completely functioning. It could be better. I'm still trying to put it together. So, yes, it's been over 2 years that that this homeowners association has been keeping me in a position where I cannot fully use and enjoy my property. And they think it's funny. They got an award from the arbitrator who had the conflict of interest, the undeclared conflict of interest. And they thought they had won, you know, they had won this case against me. And they were so happy about it. They're celebrating in the driveway with the neighbor. High fives. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, we destroyed the crippled widow. They didn't say that, but they're like, yeah, we won. Ha, ha, ha. And oh my goodness. Who celebrates destroying a crippled widow? What kind of people are that? Are they normal? Probably not. So,
well, in the HOA, it seems they are. That seems to be pretty
well,
much across
the thing
board.
About HOAs, the thing about HOAs is people who, you know, want to commit fraud, they're looking for opportunity, they're looking for a way to cloak it, and they definitely have the motivation. So these are people have been fraudulent since, Eve ate the apple, since the little snake came along and said, hey, do this. People have been either blindsided or been complicit. And that's why we pray for them, because this is a spiritual battle as well as a, you know, legal snafu. But I believe we're going to change the energy. And I think, as I say, I think this whole world needs a lot of healing right now. And, you know, we just got to live by little. We just got to take the bull by the horns and just kind of, you know, fix what we can and you know, pray for what's beyond us and just kind of stay strong.
It would seem to me, Mary, that it would seem to me that you have to start with the home, because that's where you get your healing. That's where you get your strength. That's where you go to regroup. And HOAs seem to be undermining everything that you do. They're destroying hearth and home. So if you're fighting the battles at home, how much energy and how much are you going to have left to go worldwide? And you're right. I mean, the world is falling apart. But you have to start. If you cannot get your home right, and that's the HOA. If you cannot start there, it's just not going to work. Do you agree?
Well, as you may know, real estate agents are incredibly superstitious. And I also study feng shui. So done a lot of feng shui around the house. Done a lot of prayers around the house. I engage my family members to pray together. As I say, I've been a little virgin grotto out in my side yard out there. And I go out there and pray, and I actually sent prayers to the next door neighbor who tried to destroy me. And you know what? He gave me a little smile the other day. I don't know why he gave me a little smile. God bless his heart. I don't know why he gave me a smile. As far as he's concerned, he's destroying me and he's laughing about it. Which is totally psychopathic. You know, he didn't care if I would live or die. In fact, he was hoping I would die. And I think the behind the scenes, what's going on, the hidden agenda is that they were trying to destroy this house. I came in and bought a house that I wasn't supposed to buy. Maybe that's what he meant by you don't belong here. You don't belong here because we were supposed to let this house be destroyed. We were trying to make it be destroyed so that we could all get together, us, me, and the other board members could get together and basically snap it up for a song and then go ahead and improve it ourselves and reap the profits from it. And this is something that my attorney has also mentioned, that they were trying to actively dilapidate this house. They were trying to prevent anybody from coming in and fixing this. They were making it. This house wouldn't appraise. Nobody could buy this house. It would not appraise. Nobody could get a loan on this house. It was in such bad shape when I bought it. The general manager actually came along at one point when I actually bought the house and the leasehold under it, the fee simple. I bought the fee simple because it was a leasehold property. I bought everything, and I didn't have a loan on it. Bought it for cash. And he came along, and he had the cheek to tell me, Mary McAndrew, you don't own your property. And when he told me that, I sent him an email. I said, can you please confirm that you just said that? Because he wouldn't confirm it. He wouldn't confirm it in an email. He was afraid to put it in writing. So if somebody can't put it in writing, if somebody has nothing to hide, then they'll hide nothing. But if they have something to hide, then they'll fling out these little, you know, these little barbs. They throw out these little salvos, and they try to do it behind, you know, when nobody's looking. Try and hide their misdeeds. They try and hide their transgressions.
Mary, I want to wish you all the luck, but we are out of time. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Good luck.
Well, Shu, I hope that it empowers other people to know that we can stand up and face these horrible people.
Good luck, Mary.
Okay, thank you, darling. Happy Christmas, honey.
You too.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.